from Courtside the Virtual Hardwood, it's the MLSC Podcast, episode number 397. Andrew with you once again. I am Andrew in the forum and Andrew MLSC on Twitter. My co-host is Derek, my friend, my fellow MLSC team member, and a man who was retweeted by Mark Price himself. He is DP3 in the forum and DP384 on Twitter.
I'm actually glad you brought that up. I didn't expect that. No, Mark is
Good guy.
Was a legendary player and a great guy. He's one of my favorite players ever, and he's very personal and interacts with people on Twitter, which is why it's still my favorite platform, mind you. And I posted a video of him getting ejected after a BS travel call on him. It was actually at the Fleet Center there. It was the Warriors versus the Celtics during the 96-97 season. And he responded with I agree with you, D. This wasn't a good call and whatnot. And then I posted another highlight of him, and he stayed, and it was an acrobatic layup with his left hand, and he goes, thank you, D. Just shows people that, I wasn't just a shooter and stuff like that. So I really appreciate Mark Price, and I appreciate the Twitter in many ways for that reason, because you seem to get more interaction on that platform from, former players and whatnot.
It is cool to have that interaction with people you grew up watching on TV, or certainly, current players, whatever, if you're a fan of them or fan of anyone on Twitter, of course. But Adam, who does the In All Airness podcast, did a great interview with Mark Price. If you haven't listened to that one, it's definitely worth checking out.
I'll have to check it out. I did notice too that he also just released an episode where he interviewed Dave Cowens, who is one of my favorite players of all time as well. So I love going back and watching Dave Cowens' footage and the full games that are on YouTube and the highlights and interviews with him and stuff. If I was alive at the time, he definitely would have been at the top of my favorite players list, as an active player and whatnot. But in bigger news, even more important than Mark Price and Dave Cowens and whatnot is, you just had a birthday.
Yes, I did.
So happy birthday.
Well, thank you very much. It's it is past my birthday here in Australia, but actually today is now my mother's birthday. I was born the day before her because I was determined to be an inconvenience from the moment I entered this world. So yes, and happy birthday to my lovely mother, who has the unfortunate name of Karen. She's anything but a what has come to be known as a Karen, but just a wonderful human being, and I love her very much. Obviously, her and my father, and dad have done so much for me over the years, and happy birthday, Mum, and sorry I ruined your birthday 37 years ago. Maybe. Or maybe I
do have a question.
Maybe it was the best early birthday present ever. Who knows? It's all how you look at it. So.
Oh, my God. How did you turn this into a negative?
Yeah.
No.
That's what I do.
So, at your age now, I did have this question, and I have a couple questions for you later in the show as well. Looking back, so when you first took over the NLSC, did you ever think that this many years later and at your age now, you'd still be running a video game website?
I don't think I did. But I don't think I didn't at the same time. I think at that time you're still in high school. You've got this great opportunity to take over this site that you are a fan of. You're into games. You're kind of not even really looking at that time. I wasn't even really looking at what I was going to do for a career, let alone a hobby that has turned into a 20-year hobby that I'm doing, a 20-year endeavor. So no, I don't think I did. But I don't think I've ever really envisioned a time of, okay, this is when I'm going to quit. It's one of those things that, as long as I'm enjoying the hobby, both basketball gaming and creating content for it, that I'll keep doing. So it is one of those things that, I took over it obviously 2 months before my 17th birthday. Now here I am at 37. Yeah, it's weird. It's one of the things I've done longest. Longer than school, longer than I've known some of my friends, some of my really good friends these days. It's kind of mind blowing.
It's also probably, a source of pride as well at this point. You've had it going for this long, and you've gotten, what you wanted out of it and more. So, no, I think that's great. And I join you at that age in 3 weeks, almost 4 weeks. But you have me in age, but by less than a month.
Yeah, so. Well, it is weird that we've talked about this before off air and on air as well. It's funny how our obviously we've had some very different experiences growing up. not the least of which is being on the opposite sides of the world, but having similar experiences of when we kind of when we got into basketball and when we developed certain opinions of basketball and likes and dislikes for certain players and similar experiences with games, obviously, as well. And then again, to be so close in age, it's you know, one of those weird things that we've come together years later to meet online and realize, oh, we've actually got quite a few things in common.
Yeah, it is pretty wild. Did I think that I would still be playing basketball games at this age? Actually, yeah, I did. This is something my brothers and I talked about at a very young age, when we were teenagers, actually, and we said that we would never stop. So we just had so much fun with it and, you know, getting on the sticks together and going against and just all the laughs. And how can you go away from that or think or want that to end? You know what I mean? So I had a feeling that I'd be in the position I am right now, actually, in basketball gaming, as far as, you know, how often I play with Mark and Nick and, you know, the laughs that we still have with these games and all of that stuff. So I'm glad that that came to fruition and we're still doing it.
Oh, totally. So. And I'm glad that we're not victims of that stigma against gaming as well, because that still exists. As much as it has become a mainstream, I mean, look, when we were growing up in the 90s still, gaming was still, I mean, people, a lot of people did it, but it was still often seen as that, a nerd hobby. And if you were an older gamer, you were a man child or something like that. And that's still there, kind of, because some of these stereotypes still persist, even with things like comic books and comic book movies, despite the fact that they are, like video games, mainstream multi-billion dollar industries that a lot of people enjoy. But I think that stigma is kind of going away, but again, I'm glad that we didn't say, oh, you know what, it's time to put away childish things and become a man and not play video games, because they are such great escapism, great entertainment.
Yeah, they really are. No, you know, a couple of years ago, I don't know why I'm telling this story, but I think it's fitting. A couple of years ago, there was this girl who worked at the same company that I work for, but she was like, she was part of the same starting class that I was and knew all the same people in our group and all that stuff. And I guess she, you know, she took an interest in me. I was already taken. I already had a girlfriend, but she told one of our friends that were part of that group. Him and I were ever to get together, he'd have to put down the video games. I'm not putting up with that. There's still a little bit of that stigma, the whole, you know, it's childish, you know, put down the video games and all of that stuff. Just to let you know, if I had been single and I had, you know, dated that girl, I wouldn't have put down video games. I mean, that's not something that I was, you know, my basketball video games and whatnot, and I still would have played with my brothers. But yeah, you still get those comments.
You definitely do. And it's strange because, again, it's a hobby. I mean, okay, if you are spending, and I know we've gone into this before, but if you are spending an unhealthy amount of time, if you're neglecting your duties, you know, not working, you don't go into, you end up getting fired because you're playing games too much or whatever. Of course, these days, playing games can be a vocation with content creation or professional gaming, of course. But sure, if you're doing that, yes, it is a problem. But apart from that, It's healthy escapism, just like watching a movie, just like macrame.
Well, yeah,
anything.
That's the thing I always use. I was like, you know, some people that say this, they watch Netflix, like binge Netflix for like 8 hours a day. Like, if you're gonna binge Netflix and you're gonna lay in your bed with some ice cream or do whatever, you know, with snacks or whatever, and you're gonna binge Netflix, what's the difference between me interacting with a video game and sometimes with other people and having fun doing that and sharing that experience? I don't see the difference. And I'm glad, one thing that I'm glad about as I've gotten older is overall people our age grew up with video games now, right?
That's
so
right.
Like, the thing is the stigma isn't what it used to be. There's still a lot of people our age that we even interact with on Twitter and whatnot and on the NLSC that are still pretty damn into basketball video games. That's because, you know what, these people grew up with Super NES and NES and Sega and the height of that video game boom that was happening, and the popularity of it. So yeah, I'm glad that the stigma's gone away a little bit. But I mean, it's definitely still there a bit.
You mentioned the age, of course. And it's funny because I remember in the early days of the NLSC forums, we would... There was kind of a pretending to be older than you are. Like, everyone kind of wanted to pretend they were maybe late teens already in their 20s or an adult, to the point that there was a... I won't mention the names, but there was somebody who was, like, almost created this fake identity and pretending to be 23 and married and everything. And it turned out he was, like the rest of us, kind of 15, 16, 17. It was really weird, actually. We can't, unfortunately, he was a great modder, or patcher, as we called him back in the day. And it kind of embarrassed him and ruined his reputation a bit that had created this fake persona, which a lot of people do online, obviously. But
well, isn't it funny though when you're younger that you do that? Though, sorry to interrupt, but like you go from the whole thing where I can't wait to be a teenager and be older. I can't wait to be 18 and senior. So I get looked at differently and older and more mature. And then you get to our age and you're like, wait a minute, turn back the clock.
Yeah,
please, I don't want this anymore. Let's stop it.
Staring down the barrel of 40 now, you're kind of like, when you realize that you're closer to 50 than you are your teenage years. Sometimes that's it'll happen to you. But we're still playing games. We're still enjoying them. We're still creating content for them. And I'm happy about that. I don't get any crap from that. Crap about that, I should say, from friends or anything. They've always been very supportive of of what I do, even if they don't necessarily understand everything it is that I do. But I mean, they do know that I've had trips overseas to NBA Live community events and been flown over by EA Sports. So again, these great opportunities that I've had that I'm very grateful for. And I thank Tim so often for Tim Turner for. Giving me the opportunity to run the site back in the day and, entrusting it to this 16, almost 17-year-old. But it is weird to think how long I've been doing this. As I said, closer to my anniversary back in August. Ups and downs, obviously, but I'm happy to be here.
You know what, though? It's another thing, too, is your friends do accept it, right? And they're like, they know that's you and everything. But at your age right now, you really don't give as much of a care what they think. In that regard. And that's another thing about getting older and wiser is you start to realize that the opinions of other people don't matter as much as you used to think they did, and as much as you care, you know how much you used to care about other people's opinions and about the stuff that you do or the way that you look or how you dress and everything. You're like, when you get older, and this is the way I am now, if you don't like me for me, then fine. That's just and I think what ends up happening in those situations is you end up finding out who your real friends are, and the friends that you do have are, you're closer to them, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Because they accept you for who you are and you accept them for who they are, and it's a better experience that way. So that's one of the positives about getting older.
Oh, no question. I've distanced myself from friends, turned friends into acquaintances, and acquaintances into we do not speak anymore kind of thing. And it's a healthy decision sometimes. The people who aren't looking out for your best interests, but may claim to. I had some high school friends that I drifted away from. I got on a big exercise kick many years ago. And I was talking once on Facebook. I was mentioning my playlist that I like to run to. And they were saying, oh, you need to get some new music. You need to change that up. And I thought, why? This is the music that pumps me up to run. I don't need to change it. To impress somebody? To show that I'm on the cutting edge of music? No, this is what pumps me up to run. And that's one of the things that realized that friendship had kind of run its course, which is unfortunate because we had many great memories together. But sometimes you move on, just as sometimes you make many great memories with a basketball video game, but it's time to move on. Kind of like how I've moved on from my 2K14 retro kick. Yeah. But that's how it goes. And that would be, obviously this is getting maybe more deep than you'd expect, what you'd expect from a basketball podcast. But as you get older, for our younger listeners, as you do get older, and sometimes older people may need to listen to, need to hear it as well, because friendships can be toxic and it can be difficult to make that break from people. But if they're not giving you what you need out of a relationship, if they are giving you more judgment and bringing you down, sometimes the relationship has run its course and it is time to move on, and it's okay to do that, hard as it may be.
There's a few things. Well, one, I got rid of Facebook years ago and I was so happy about it, and I've never been happier about that decision. I ran into an old basketball buddy the other day, and I hadn't seen him, I'd say probably in a couple of years, because as you know, I haven't been able to play much 5-on-5 basketball because of my knee, and because of my lower back. So I, and which I've been strengthening and trying to get back out there, as you know, recently. But I ran into this kid, and I know that he's on Facebook because we used to be friends on there. And I was able to talk to him for like a good half hour straight about updates on his life, ask him how he's doing, how's his wife and all of that stuff. And we're having a real conversation, and we're updating each other on everything. And that never, those questions that I asked, I never would have had to ask him if I had Facebook. Why? Because he updates his status all the time, right? He's updating what he's doing all the time. We wouldn't have had that conversation and that great interaction, that great face-to-face interaction that we had. So there's a lot of reasons I can't stand Facebook, and that's one of them. The other thing too is if people heard what I listen to when I work out. Don't try to turn me on to the new stuff just because it's new, right? Or cutting edge or anything like that. I listen to what I want when I work out, and I don't care what anybody else thinks. But yeah, no, Facebook is, in my opinion, most of the time a full-blown nightmare. I just can't stand it, so I stay away from it.
It's definitely can be one of the more toxic social media platforms, even when you're just connected with friends and family that you know, unfortunately. As for running, I will say that the theme music from the final level of GoldenEye on Nintendo 64 is a tremendous song to run to. Mostly because that level
I'll
was
have to look it up.
mostly because that level was about running around and chasing Trevelyan to do that. But it's very
GoldenEye 007
effective.
is the best N64 game. But the I listen to like the Rocky soundtracks when I work out, or I'll listen to I'll listen to some heavy stuff like Metallica. If I'm lifting, I'll usually listen to more heavy stuff. Like I'll listen to like Megadeth or Metallica or like just more like hard rock or like heavy metal and whatnot. And then a lot of times it just depends on the type of workout I'm doing. If I'm doing cardio, sometimes I want to listen to something a little bit different.
Of course.
But yeah, I'm not going to listen to any of the new stuff just because it's new, right? Because who am I trying to impress?
Exactly.
So
And again,
yeah.
that's when I heard that, and they're giving me other tips, and I'm thinking I'm shedding a lot of weight here, I'm getting healthy, and my process is working. Why are you trying to instruct me? So it's one of those things where, again, it's a shame when friendships kind of fizzle out like that, or a close friend does become more of an acquaintance or someone you used to know, but that is life, and that is something that I've learned over the past 20 years, and that some things last, like my tenure at the NLSC, and other things change over time. Although I'd like to think the NLSC has changed over time as well, for the better, in many ways, and hopefully will continue to do that. It's funny, we've been talking for about 18 minutes now about anything but basketball video games. which I think, Derek, is a sign that not a lot of news going on at the moment.
Yeah, there's not a lot going on, but I think some of this stuff is incredibly important too. And I know that we do have some younger listeners as well, and we're not trying to be the old wise men or anything like that, but we can say things like, "Hey, we've been there before."
Indeed.
So, yeah, I think that hopefully it's motivating for some people out there, that people that are in their mid to late 30s, like we are still unashamed of basketball gaming and still super into it. And the only advice that I can give to anybody who's listening to this podcast is never change who you are based on what people expect your social status to be. How about that?
Well said.
Never change who you are, never change your interests, never change just like be yourself. That's basically it. And you will have the most special relationships with, friends and whatnot, and maybe even a significant other, because they're going to accept you for exactly who you are.
At 100%. No, it's glad that we can give some advice as well beyond the virtual hardwood, but we obviously do still enjoy basketball gaming, and there are people that are older than us in our community that still enjoy it as well, which goes to show it's not just our generation, it's also Gen X as well, and because they would have grown up with the earlier games than we did, and really got into them, maybe about 10 years before we did. So it's again, it's something that if you have the free time and you're handling it in a healthy way, it's a hobby like any other, as we've said before, and we will continue to advocate for that. Advocate for retro gaming, advocate for basketball gaming in general. That's what we do here.
Yeah, you know, there's people that are creating mods on the NLSC that are in their mid-40s.
Sure.
Like big mods and whatnot, early to mid-40s. And I love that. I love it. I love it when I see those people interacting in the community. I love that they're still passionate about making art for the games and really releasing rosters and everything. I think it's great. And, you know, I hope that they don't lose that love. And if they do, I hope it's for the right reasons.
Indeed.
Not because they pressured or forced.
I mean, sometimes you get sick of a hobby, which is fine, and you don't have the time, you don't really have the inclination to mod the games anymore. We've seen people come and go from the community, whether it's tool creators or modders. It's just the way it goes, and of course some people have been hired by the companies that make the games, which is always a great end game for being in a community if that's where your interest lies. Speaking of modding, I want to give a shout out as always to TG So Good, the goods, of course, on YouTube, TG So Good in our forum, making some great environment mods for there's a lakeside court with mountains, just this great scenery that he's done, and some other outdoor courts as well, and also putting out some great tutorials and resources, including an in-game version of a one court texture mod that we did for courts, of course, the great one texture templates for court mods, but has developed one so that it can be used in the in-game rebranding for courts. So just all kinds of creative stuff there. You know, the goods has been great about sharing mods for free with the community, and also his knowledge and the resources creating those as well. Being such a great member of the community, you know, can't say enough good things about TG. But yeah, that's kind of cool that he's doing that, because it goes back to what we talked about a couple of shows ago with out-of-the-box modding ideas and pushing the envelope as far as doing things that are not just, oh, another Kobe face or another LeBron face, but something that can really help the community and stand out.
I think what's cool about TG So Good is he's so versatile. He looks at the PC gaming space, but recognizes the fact that the console space is the most popular. So what he tries to do is bring over mods to the consoles as well, like in any way he possibly can. I've seen like next gen attempts at tutorials. I even tuned into one of his streams at one point on a next gen tutorial that he was trying to put together on how to mod the console in different ways. Then he also, like you had stated, he does, you know, PC modding tutorials and, you know, PC gaming videos and whatnot. So we definitely need more tutorials on the forum, and he's always been a big help with putting out those resources and whatnot. And again, not ignoring the console space. So I think one thing that is a little frustrating about the NLSC is it's so PC modding focused that oftentimes the console versions seldom or don't get talked about at all.
Agreed.
If you think about it, you know, there's a couple things, you know, real quick. You know, there's a cool thread that's in the NBA 2K22 modding section about updating the PS5 next gen rosters for NBA 2K22, like filling in the classic teams and adding their signatures and whatnot. And I'm really happy that that thread is in there. It's the only one.
And that's, then MJ Wizards, I believe, has been doing some
MJ
projects
Wizards.
There.
Yeah, and he's cool too, because him and I have a couple things in common. We also both like tennis video games and whatnot. And I actually met him for the first time on Operation Sports in the tennis video game section. But then, you know, I create those threads in the main section of NBA 2K22. You know, let's talk about 2K22, my NBA. Let's talk about, you know, my team and all this stuff in my career. And crickets. Because it's not PC modding related, right?
Yeah.
Because if they're going to be jumping into those modes and whatnot, the people on the NLSC, what they wouldn't be doing that on PC. So nobody's talking about it, right? So I think that is a little bit frustrating. So that's why I appreciate that TG So Good is versatile with his content.
No doubt. And that is definitely something that I'd love to address with the site moving forward, is that we have become, and look, we're never not going to be that PC modding community, but that has become our identity which has become both a strength and a weakness for us, because people say, well, that's where you go for PC mods. It's not where you go for anything else, which wasn't really the case back in the day. We did talk about the game. We did share sliders. We did share tips and things. And there are so many things you can do, and I want to do this year with my team tips. And look, I don't like the grind of my career, but it's also important that we show people how to do it. So, you know, how do you maximize a no-money-spent experience? These are the things that I think we should be talking about that we're perhaps not, because it does seem like some people would rather mod the game than play it. And certainly they're not really interested in talking about it as much as they used to, at least around our neck of the woods. So I would definitely like to change that and show people that we are and always have been more than just a modding community. Although that is obviously a big part of what we do.
Yeah, I don't want to get rid of any of the PC modding stuff.
No.
I just want us to be talking about other stuff as well, because I know that I'm not the only person playing the next-gen version of NBA 2K22. Because I see those conversations happening on the on Operation Sports about the next-gen version. So we need people to... And, you know, I don't want it to feel forced either. I don't want somebody to, you know, feel like, oh, well, you know, somebody's got to talk about it, so here I am. Like, I don't want, like, something like that. But it would be nice to get more people comfortable and willing to share their experiences with the next gen version, the console versions of the games. So, you know, who knows if that will change anytime in the future, but it is something that I hope happens.
Oh, absolutely. And look, I will be talking more about my NBA. I mentioned before about how revisiting my GM in 2K14 has got me really back into franchise gaming. Finally, it was just, which is funny, after spending a whole 2 or 3 months playing my career there and having a great time, which I don't regret, but playing my GM, as I said last week, I'm really looking forward to getting into a MyNBA. I'm liking the way the Bulls are shaping up in real life this season. I think they're going to be fun to play with on the court as well. And that's the big thing, because I've usually liked playing with the Bulls in franchise modes. Not always, but that's usually been my go-to because they are my favorite team. And some years, especially within the rebuilding years, they've not really been very fun to play with. In fact, I did a Way Back Wednesday some time ago about trying to play with the Bulls in franchise modes in the early 2000s. And man, that was rough. You know, when the best trade asset you've got is Khalil Min and Ron Mercer, you know, all due respect to people who made it to the NBA, you know, they did make it to the big time. But not, you know, those aren't great trade assets to try and rebuild with, you know, in a franchise mode, or to necessarily a fun roster to play with, Dalibor Bagaric on the coming off the bench for those early 2000s Bulls. When you actually have a great team to play with, or a fun team to play with that you can maybe even overachieve with, it makes a franchise game so much better. So I'm looking to do a MyNBA with the Bulls, probably as of next week, because we'll get that opening night roster. You know, we're only a few days away from the new season roster, new season tipping off, so we'll get those rosters soon. So I'm looking forward to doing that.
Ron Mercer played for my Celtics, if you remember correctly. He was drafted
by
my Celtics and played for Rick Pitino. I actually think he was a hell of a player, and I think that he gets often overlooked, and people think that he underachieved, but he did have some good seasons. I actually thought not only was he a hell of an athlete, but he had one of the sweetest mid-range jumpers in the league, you know, at that time. So, but I agree with you. I think if you look at Ron Mercer as a like key building block, you're in trouble.
Yeah, which they kind of did, because they missed out on Grant Hill and Tim Duncan and Tracy McGrady that year.
Right. My brother and I are actually 57 games in now to a MyNBA. So that's good. We played a couple more games earlier tonight. And of course, again, that's our Legends, MyNBA versus the computer. And so we're 2 games from the All-Star break. All-Star selections were announced. And it's always kind of fun to get up to All-Star break in these games.
Agreed.
Because there's still this special feeling of seeing your player out there, whether it be in the 3-point contest or in the All-Star game itself, or if you have a rookie and, you know, in the rookie sophomore game and whatnot. So, I mean, so after the next couple of games, we'll have that, and I'll be posting highlights of that. I'll be doing a full season highlight reel when we finish the season. I'll be posting that on YouTube and whatnot. And of course, again, that's on the next gen version of NBA 2K22. So that's a MyNBA. But yeah, I mean, I'll say again, like I said on prior podcasts, you know, my brother and I, we think we got our money's worth with the next gen.
Yeah, which is what it's all about. Another great thing about that season is that you almost lost it. So the fact that you're at the 57 game mark now is
but we have this feeling every time an update goes through,
right?
That like, oh no, it's gonna get corrupted again. And it seems like every time we put on the game lately, there's an update that's going through.
You do kind of cross your fingers and anything else that you can possibly cross to hope that nothing gets corrupted again, because losing a save, especially that far into the season, when you've been having such a fun time with it, to lose that progress, I think it's happened to all of us over the years. I've traded games in when I was younger. Sometimes if I needed money, I would trade in games for new games or just to trade them in at the exchange place, whatever, to because now it was more important than to have money to pay some bills or whatever than to play retro game. It wasn't until I was able to a bit older and you make a bit more money and whatnot to build up that collection and get some of those games back. But when I got those games back, I've already deleted those saves from the memory cards and whatnot, because of course, especially PS2, you got 8 megabytes of storage space on a memory card. Fills up very quick when you've got a number of games. To these days with the new consoles, how quickly will a hard drive fill up with games, with 100 gigabyte games being installed these days? So storage space has kind of come around to being a bit of an issue again. But yeah, man, losing saves, either through corruption, which is really frustrating, or possibly even more frustrating when you delete it yourself because you think, oh, I'm not going to use that again, not going to play that game. My other advice, maybe not as important as the life advice we gave earlier in the show, Derek, but my advice for gaming, keep those old saves, because you never know when you want to dust them off.
Right, exactly. We talked about that with NBA 2K17 for you.
Oh, yeah.
Keep old save that way, for PC, that way you could release that college roster.
Exactly.
That you wanted to do. So, yeah, that's definitely something. As far as the NBA 2K taking up so much space, I think I mentioned this on Twitter a couple of years ago. One of the things that's really frustrating about that is I've seen the files, because on PC you can get them. I see the files that are still in the game, like when it's released, and there are thousands of files from older titles that are still in the NBA 2K files, right? So I can guarantee you, and I would stand by this, I would almost guarantee you that the space NBA 2K takes up, like NBA 2K22, would be cut in half if they removed the old game files. I mean, you have animations in there that are no longer in use from 2K2, 2K2, 2K3, 2K4. Those files are still in the NBA animations.if that get released with the game. Right. So there is just so much stuff that's included in the files that shouldn't be. That's not even being used by the game. So that's frustrating.
But good for modding. But it can be good for modding.
It can be good for modding. But I mean, like, there's definitely, I just don't understand why they don't remove that stuff.
There's definitely stuff that, yeah. I mean, if you're not modding, well, on consoles where you can't mod, it's just taking up space on the hard drive.
Yeah, exactly. And there's already such limited space anyway.
One of my birthday gifts this year was a WD Black external drive, so that I'll be able to extend my storage on PC, so I can move stuff over there, which I've been meaning to do. So, yeah.
Well, I didn't get you anything. You get to talk to me every weekend on the NLSC podcast.
Well, that's right. It's like the gift that keeps on giving. So, although you did unknowingly give me two spots in the top 10. Which I appreciated, because I was quite proud of those highlights, actually.
Yeah, no, the top 10 I thought was really good, because we had some variety in there. We had a couple really deep shots that made it in there. And,
mods?
We had NBA Street Volume 2 in there, some really nice mods, like the 91-92 mod on NBA 2K10. And the Julius Erving layup. The signature layup on NBA 2K13, the scoop, yeah. The Rock the Baby layup. That was the dunk, the Rock the Baby dunk, but you know what I mean, the scoop layup, the best layup possibly of all time. I thought the top 10 came out pretty good this week, and yeah, you got two spots. That tip dunk was fantastic.
I reacted to that in my seat because I didn't see it, I didn't see that one coming. That was a CPU just James Flight White just rushing in and slamming that one back, and also the blacktop highlight, tribute to Jiao Ming, me playing Blacktop. There you go.
I mean, the ball warped a little bit.
Yeah.
Blacktop highlight, but man, does that game look good.
It does.
Those Blacktop lighting, the court, just the whole, everything about it, the jersey movement, all of that. It's like, man, are the new games really better than that? You know, that's what you think when you watch that. So no, I thought that was great.
I mean, it's the reason I've been playing so much 2K14 and splitting time with 2K22, because there's just something about that game, 2K14, that I really changed my mind on it. I put that updated retrospective out for Way Back Wednesday this past week, and I've got the retrospectives of reflections on my career, and also my GM retrospective coming out over the next couple of weeks in Way Back Wednesday to look out for those. There's just something about that game, just that look and the feel, the atmosphere, how it feels on the sticks, obviously, that organic feel that we talked about in a previous show. Yeah, it was like discovering buried treasure, and anybody who played the game more than I did back in the day is like, well, yeah, duh. You know, this is what we've always been telling you, Andrew. And yes, you know, you're absolutely right. It has become, retroactively, one of my favorite games.
What game would you love to go back and revisit like you just did with 2K14?
Yeah. I mean,
really dive into, like, a game that maybe you were about, maybe because of the way the company handled it, or maybe you saw some gameplay footage that wasn't that great, or your first impression wasn't that great. What game would you say, hey, you know what? I want to pull a 2K14 with this game, and I want to go back, and maybe I'll play a franchise, or maybe if the game had a career mode, I'll play the career mode. Is there a game in mind?
It's tough, because the other games that would have come to mind are Live 10, which I've also done this year. And, I mean, I'd probably want to play a season. I'd love to play a dynamic season of 10, because that's something that you can no longer do. So that'd be great to do. And also maybe because I have gotten into the online team play modes in recent years, to actually play Adidas Live Run in Live 10, and because that is something I never played back in the day. So experiencing some things like that. Live 10 would probably still be up there. Of course, yeah, Live 10, 2K14, Live 06 are kind of the big ones that I never really paid as much attention to or tried to give as much of a second chance to until this year, and have really changed my mind on. 2K15, I haven't spent as much time on either. That's probably going to be my next one, moving forward to 2K15, because I played a lot of Live 15 Ultimate Team that year. So again, it's probably one of those years where I've spent a lot of more time favoring Live than 2K. Probably, I mean, 2K11 is a game I have played a lot of, and I'm, you know, in the process of modding, obviously, for that ongoing project. But that's a game that I'd like to spend a bit, would have loved to spend more time with if I could go back and play it when it was new, with my, now that I'm used to that 2K style. And yes, it doesn't have right stick dribbling, but I am, retroactively, I'm more used to the style of dribbling, so I can adjust to it in 2K11 and 2K10. So probably 2K11 as well. But yeah, kind of 2K14 was really the big one, I guess, and everything else in 2K17 I've spent so much time with. I'd probably love to actually play a franchise, my league, in 2K17, because I spent so much time on Pro-Am, which I loved, and My Career, which I had a blast with as well. But as somebody who has neglected franchise for so many years, maybe a franchise in 2K17, but as far as a game that I haven't given as much of a chance to, or didn't spend as much time with, 2K15 is probably still up there and probably going to be one that I go back to. Earlier than that, yeah, I'm not sure. I think I've kind of got the big ones with 06, 10, and 2K14.
Well, first off, NBA 2K17 has a great My League. I think you would love it, and I think you should jump in that. We've played multiple of My Leagues on my end, and I just love the structure of it, the way it looks and everything. I wanted to say something really quick, though, about NBA 2K14. You know, as clunky as the menu system is, once you leave NBA 2K14, you almost kind of miss the menus. And I think it's because of that blue color. And I think it's because of, which I tried to implement in NBA 2K17. And I think it's maybe the bigger text. There's something about the layout on those menus for NBA 2K14 that kind of, I love it. I don't love the lack of options and the lack of depth on NBA 2K14, but for some reason the menus stand out.
There's something,
you know, the stack.
Yeah, and of course, blue is a calming color, and it's my favorite color, in fact. So there is that aspect to it, and once you are used to them, I think you do kind of appreciate them what they are. I mean, they were very clunky. There's a lot of back and forth. They clearly messed up the whole save system. You know, there was a lot of problems with that
Right.
user
That's why I
interface.
said like menu depth and like save depth and like overall mode depth. That's not definitely not what I'm talking
Oh, they
about, but
messed
I
it
mean
up.
just
Yeah, the
visual
aesthetics.
appeal.
Yeah, no, there is something about that that they're in that game, and for me, obviously, it's this kind of retroactive nostalgia for it, which happens to me for games over the years. But yeah, no, it's there is definitely something special about 2K14, which is why it's been so tough to put down. But the plus side is that it has encouraged me to try something new moving forward, or something old, something familiar rather, but to make a change, should I say.
Yeah, so for me, so weird. I've really wanted to recently go back and play a full season on the original NBA 2K. Not just the original NBA 2K, but NBA 2K6. So those two games in particular, I've really wanted to dive in to the first ever NBA 2K. And you and I played it recently because you through Parsec and whatnot, even you were like, hey, this isn't that bad.
There's something to it, yeah. Not t terrible free
It's
throws, terrible free throw system, but still.
worse free throws. We're absolutely worse free throws. But yeah, I've always wanted to jump in and play a season and see if like the commentary goes along with the season and to see like the different menus and how they do the awards and all of that stuff. That stuff fascinates me. And NBA 2K6 being the first title on the Xbox 360 and whatnot, that generation of consoles, there's just something about revisiting those two games that gets me excited. So I think to answer your question, I think those would be the two that I would want to jump into. Other than that, if you went with like NBA Live, something about playing a season on NBA Live 16 has kind of gotten me pumped up recently. And it's because the game has its moments whenever I put it on, where I'm like, whoa, that looks great. And, I had also like a great game against Sticky Fingers through Parsec where he was even like, wait, this game feels great, et cetera. So, yeah, I'd like to jump in and maybe play a season on NBA Live 16.
No, I totally get that because that was a very strong release. Underrated sometimes. I've seen somebody say that it went backwards after 15. I must respectfully disagree with that. I think it was a big jump forward. One of the best shooting mechanics, I think, of a game, and certainly better than 18 and 19, or 19 at the very least. Another game just came to mind because I was thinking NBA, but now of course I have the PS3 and I've imported the college games. NCAA Basketball 10, playing that back in the day and playing
Oh
through
yeah,
that.
I forgot about that. NCAA basketball 09 for me. Yeah, I would love to possibly jump in and also I want to do an NLSC tournament on that game. I think that's what we should do for in March. But yeah, I would say I would love to do that on NCAA basketball 09 because I think that the game is really underrated and it has a lot of good
Not to mention
qualities.
the fake historical teams as well.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's a huge draw for me, because I think that they're made well enough where you can look at them and put them on the floor and it feels realistic. So, yeah, no, that's definitely a draw for me.
So since this episode we are talking about the big issues and asking the big questions, you just threw a great one at me there. We were talking about this before we started recording, and I've got a couple for you as well. In that similar vein, what's a short-lived or underused feature or mechanic that wasn't used to its full potential and perhaps should even return? Just something from an old game that you've gone back and dusted off and say, this was a great idea, why didn't they continue that? Because I know I've got a few of those ideas, and I'm sure that you've come across a few as well, and I mean, X Factors in 07 was interesting.
Wow. That is a loaded question. We don't rehearse these people.
No.
He didn't tell me he was gonna ask me this. Wow, something that was underutilized. I'm gonna go back again to NBA 2K16, where they had the four size up system and it's the only game that had it. At least the way that they had it in that game. It still blows my mind that it only made its appearance in that game, but it was so authentic. the way it added so much authenticity to the game and so much control, and you could get into the size ups and break out of them so quickly and whatnot. And it's just a joy to put on NBA 2K16 at times for that reason, because you can do so many different things with the players. So I'm going to say that's a thing that I'm surprised that they didn't continue forward with, because they completely removed that in NBA 2K17 and dropped it down to one size up.
They're always changing that with the dribbling system. It seems to change every couple of years, or sometimes every year.
Right, exactly. And I don't think the dribbling system is even close now, overall, as good as it was in like 2K17 and 2K16, as far as the way it feels overall, like the pace of it and the realism of it. I think that NBA 2K22 next gen has probably the best dribbling since NBA 2K17, but that doesn't mean it's as good. Or NBA 2K17 and NBA 2K16, but it doesn't mean that it feels as good. So, I'm not a fan of the direction they went in dribbling. As far as any other features and past games, you know, I get a little upset that we had the NBA's greatest mode in NBA 2K12, and then they were just like, screw it, we're not going to do that anymore. Because that's something that you could expand on and put in a game any year, really. And so I would say that's something that I wish they had expanded on. And I wish they had brought into some of the newer games after and whatnot.
Just having a retro challenge mode every year. Yeah, absolutely.
Right, exactly. I think custom teams. I think custom teams in offline mode. I think that we used to have fun with those back in the day, and I think that that's something that's surprising that it's not in the newer titles. The ability, I mean, obviously you can do whatever you want in my NBA or in my league. You can go in there and, you know, create your jerseys and your courts and all of that stuff. But, you know, there was something awesome about putting together a custom team and, you know, putting them in play now or exhibition or whatever the mode was called, putting them on the floor. And, you know, even if it was just the, like the generic logos, like a snake or something like that, there was something cool about it.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I think not being able to, I think that's another thing that I'm surprised they didn't expand on. Like, now you can add more custom teams and now you can do more with these custom teams. Instead, they were just like, screw it, we're going to not do it anymore at all.
Well, you see, right? These days they'd say, oh, well, this has evolved into to my team, but it's not the same thing because of the, recurrent revenue mechanics.
Well, no, it's 100% different, because again, though, that's not exhibition or play now.
No.
Right?
Exactly.
That's not the same thing. And that's not something that you can just quickly put together and then throw it into a My League, et cetera. So, no, I don't think it's, I don't, I think that's night and day different. I don't think it's the same.
I agree. So, I'm just saying that's the argument people would make, or 2K would make, yeah.
Oh, of course they would. Yeah. And by the way, if I posted that online, that's what people, like on Twitter or whatever, that's what I would get for comments. So those are my answers on the spot. How about that?
No, absolutely. You know, I threw that down without any preparation. I completely agree. Fantasy teams in NBA Live 10. Look how much fun we've had with that mode just this year alone. And that's a mode that I feel that I neglected again back in the day. And that's a slightly different concept to the original custom teams, either the Slammers and Jammers, etc. in NBA Live, or then creating a team as you've been able to do in Live and 2K. In previous generations, which, and there's a lot of value in that as well, especially with roster mods. But even just being able to quickly throw together a team, take an existing branding and then just put a team together on the floor for those quick games, fantasy matchups as we've had, or the makeshift retro teams, and of course, actually having a dedicated retro team challenge mode, absolutely. So I'm going to go very specific and minor with mine. Minor but major. So here's something that has appeared in, as far as I know, only one game. NBA Live 2000, the original franchise mode. Complete or cancel a trade after it's been accepted. So when you propose a trade in franchise mode in Live 2000 PC, it will say trade declined. It might say team feels that this will make them too weak at point guard or something like that. Or it will say trade accepted, and then you can confirm or cancel. So that's basically an extra step to the negotiation where you can see a trade being agreed to in principle, but then you can back out of it. You know, you don't have to reload the save or anything like that. I've never seen that in any game except Live 2000. They immediately lost it in Live 2001. So that's just a little thing I've always wanted to see come back in a franchise mode, and it's only being used once. And it's strange.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, they're probably thinking that that's unrealistic.
It is,
somehow.
But I think it kind of... I see the logic of, oh, it's kind of cheesing the CPU, but at the same time, I mean, when you can reload, that's cheesy as well. For me, I look at it again as kind of agreeing to a trade in principle, but then backing out, which we do see in the NBA.
Happening. I mean, if you think about it, didn't that happen with DeAndre Jordan?
Yeah, absolutely. Or a signing, yeah.
Where he agreed to that trade years back with the Mavericks, and then the Clippers locked him down and said, like, forced him to sign with them or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was similar to that. I did think of Judge's two other ones, not to steal your thunder here. Actually, it might have been called Game Reel, where they show all the screenshots of the game. The press book. Come on. Like, how is that out of there? Like, why did we have that for a couple of years and it was awesome? How great would that be for thumbnails?
Exactly.
But, yeah, the press book was amazing. I look at it every single time I play a game of NBA 2K10 or games that had it. And then also, they used to have, like, the top three plays and whatnot. And I know that Live continued that through, like, Live 19 and whatnot for their halftime and their halftime and postgame show or whatever. But NBA 2K hasn't had that in years, like top three plays of the game, top five plays of the game or something like that. So there's just a couple things that came to mind while you were talking.
No, definitely. I've done a whole Way Back Wednesday on the press book, 2K10, 11, and 12. Very underutilized. And I think we've talked about it on a previous show as well, that how good it would be, how handy it would be for content creators, as you mentioned, thumbnails and whatnot, but especially for the online team play modes, your 2K Pro-Am, the Rec, etc. Because in those modes, you can't pause and re-angle the camera and take a great screenshot. So if you want a great screenshot from those modes, a cinematic angle, you can't, basically, because there are no replays, there's no pausing an instant replay to go in and take those screenshots. So to be able to be presented with a press book of your of great, you know, cool-looking angles from a playground game, a park game, or a rec game, or pro-am game, I think people would really enjoy that. It's one of those ideas that even if it wasn't... I think it can still be used as it originally was intended, but it could be even better now and expanded to be even more useful.
Right, exactly. I mean, even I think on, like, NBA 2K10 or whatever, they had, like, a button that you could hit that says, like, you could download the screenshot.
Yep, upload to 2K Share, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, upload to 2K, yeah. I mean, people would definitely be using that today.
Absolutely.
Height of social media, height of all that, you know, height of sharing on Twitter, height of blah, blah, blah. Like, it's crazy that that's not in there. You know, if I was in charge of anything NBA 2K, that would be one of the things that I would bring back.
So here's another one. Roster exporting in a franchise or season mode. I can remember two games that have allowed me to do this on PC, NBA Live 96 and Fox Sports NBA Basketball 2000, the latter being a very amusing game for the wrong reasons. But being able to easily export a roster that you've made in franchise mode and save that as a roster that can be then used to start a new game. We kind of have that with some of the franchise sharing in 2K at the moment, but it's not quite the same as what I'm talking about. It's basically dumping the roster as is with any generated rookies and any trades that have been made into a new roster file. Haven't really seen that as much.
No, I think that's a great idea. You can do that through PC modding. Like, you can...
Oh, yeah, always.
You
know,
mess around with the file names and whatnot. But like you said, you haven't been able to do that in-game. The console. Right, exactly. So no, I agree with that. I think that would be incredibly helpful. And I think that people would do that too. You know, hey, do you want to play this roster? You know, or, you know, like, say they want to play with a friend or something like that. They say, hey, you know, play against my rookie or something like that from my NBA or my league or something like that. So no, I think that would be a really good idea.
In an exhibition mode, that's the thing. Because obviously you can share a saved my NBA or my league setup, which is great.
Right.
But if you want to take that roster and then use it in another mode or just to exhibition games with those trades, you can't do that. So that's kind of what it's just that flexibility. And these things that, especially that they don't sell games, which is why we don't see them. But we used to see those little details. Another one in that same vein, again, is customizing the All-Star teams. I don't think I've seen that in any game except the NBA In the Zone 98 and 99. Because they don't have... Normally, the All-Star teams in games are the previous year's East and West All-Stars, and then they might update them once, or these days they will usually update them once the roster comes through, once we get to the new All-Star weekend. But NBA Pro, or In the Zone, as it was in most areas, most regions apart from Australia, they had very weird default teams with David Wesley in the All-Star team and other players that never made an All-Star team in real life. But you could customize it, and you could change who was going to be the on the All-Star East and West All-Stars. And even just being able to, I mean, that was just for playing the All-Star game in exhibition play. But even being able to edit the All-Star teams is something we've never really been able to do in other games. Of all the things we've been able to do in roster editing, somehow we've not been able to customize the All-Star teams is something that's never really been a case.
Yeah, it's really surprising that they've been locked
Yeah,
for
for
me.
years.
I don't understand that. Yeah, that is very, very strange, especially with everything that you can edit
Oh yeah.
in the games. Like for some reason that's not allowed. I do want to bring something up though, because you got me thinking about this, and I'm just nostalgia's hitting me. So you brought up the ability to export rosters from my league or my NBA and whatnot into exhibition. But for some reason that sent me down the path in my mind of printing stats back in
Oh,
the day.
exporting stats, yes.
God, I absolutely loved it. I had sheets of stats. My printer, from playing like NBA Live 98 PC or whatever. And, you'd have your at the end of a game, you'd have your stats, and then you could like print them out,
Oh yeah.
and it came out so cool on the print. Like they looked so cool when you printed out your stats from the stat screen and whatnot. And it looks way cooler on paper when you do it that way than it does in the game. I swear, it just makes the stats look so much better. And it's just not the same anymore. I don't even own a printer, right? But man, we used to look forward to that.
Oh
We
yeah.
really used to look forward to printing the stats and having the sheets and whatnot because it looked so cool.
Choose to the ink on an inkjet as well when you're certainly doing that. But yeah, no, I absolutely agree. That's a lot of nostalgia in that as well. But those are the kind of my, because everything else that I would say, things like Freestyle Superstars that only lasted a year or two, they've evolved into more into better ideas with deeper mechanics. So they were kind of that first that stepping stone to bigger things along those lines of play differentiation and everything. But I'm talking about specific things, so those are the three or four that come to mind for me.
I think that if I had a little bit more time, I could think of many other things. But I think we got a lot of good ideas out there,
I'm sure we
in
can
my
circle
opinion.
back that, and as always, listeners, let us know some of those things that are short-lived or underused in previous games that could make a comeback. Again, these are the things we should be mentioning in the wish lists.
No, absolutely. I do have a question for you now, so I'm going to turn this over to you. So, Bulls fan, like you'd stated earlier, you use Bulls primarily in video games, if you start a franchise or whatnot. Let's say you didn't like the Bulls. What team would you use on video games, and what team would you root for in real life?
Yeah, that's a tough one, because whenever the Bulls have kind of not been strong, I've usually defaulted to an Eastern Conference team, and ironically the Celtics, actually, considering the Celtics have always defeated the Bulls in the playoffs, and for many times where the Bulls were winless against them, when the Boston three party came together with KG, Pierce, and Allen, of course. I did actually follow, and of course, I know that was a great time for you to be a Celtics fan, obviously. I kind of followed them there. I love the history. I love the classic design of the jerseys. I think, again, you look at the Bulls jerseys and the Celtics jerseys, they just have that classic design. They've had some pretty good alternates over the years as well. They're black alternates in both cases. So I might even be a Celtics fan like you.
There we go. I mean, I'm not going to argue. I mean,
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Other than that, the Timberwolves maybe, because of course I was a KG fan back in the day.
Now let's go prior to Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, and Paul Pierce. Would you still say the Celtics? I mean, at that point, you're looking at Paul Pierce and Ricky Davis, and then before Paul Pierce and Ricky Davis, you're looking at Paul Pierce,
Antoine
Antoine
Walker.
Walker, and whatnot. And then before that, you're looking at Dino Raja and Rick Fox and D Brown. So would you still have been?
Maybe not then. I mean, I still think I appreciated the history of the Celtics because, again, when you and I started watching basketball, it was very much about promoting the history of the game and the Celtics being the, you know, it's them and the Lakers being the most storied franchises in history. Maybe the Hornets, because the Hornets have always had great branding. And back in the 90s, of course, you could pretty much get, mid to late 90s, there was three teams you could reliably get merch for here in Australia. Bulls, obviously. Vancouver Grizzlies for a couple of years there, and Charlotte Hornets.
Charlotte Hornets merchandise was it.
Oh, yeah.
It looked great. The color, the very jackets. 90s.
Yeah.
Very 90s, yeah.
And, of course, they've had some great teams. You know, you Alonzo Mourning, Larry Johnson, Muggsy Bogues in the mid-90s there, short-lived as it was. And then later on, you'd have Baron Davis, and you'd have Derek Coleman there, and some other players, Jamal Mashburn. So maybe the Hornets, yeah.
There you go. Not bad. Now, would that still be the team that you would bring into franchise?
I think so. I think I'd still default to my favorite team. I have gone with other teams over the years, had a great franchise in 2002 with the Kings, which I really enjoyed. I did actually do one with the Timberwolves in 2003, which was fun. But I have sort of gone back to the Bulls. I think having that... for me, the way I play, which is to play with real rosters, or at least start out with them, is about taking your favorite team and making them successful in a year that maybe they're not going to be, and making the trades you wish that they could, and getting your favorite players on your favorite team if you can. So that's always been the way that I've approached franchise mode. I also played a 2000 franchise with my cousin. We played with the Blazers, a 28-game season, and won a single elimination in the playoffs and got through the whole thing in a two-week school holidays back in the... Again, circa 2000, had a Knicks, funny being a Bulls fan, a Knicks franchise in 2001 that I was enjoying because I traded for Jason Kidd and Chris Webber. Kind of had a great starting five and a horrible bench in that game. So I have branched out into other teams with interesting scenarios. And when I do, I have to kind of like the history and what I can do with the roster and the jerseys and everything else, the branding I have to really like. But I think I would still default to my favorite team.
That makes sense. I mean, I played, I talked about this before on NBA 2K20. My brother and I got it about 20 games into a season, 12-minute quarters, you know, against each other. He was using his favorite player at the time, not anymore, was Russell Westbrook. And so he was using the Rockets that season. And I actually used the Pelicans. And the reason was is because I actually like Zion Williamson. I like the way he carries himself overall. I've always been a fan overall of how hard he plays on both ends and whatnot. And I've also always liked Brandon Ingram. So, you know, I didn't use the Celtics there. I actually used the Pelicans and we were having a good time on it. So I can definitely understand the appeal of, you know, branching out and definitely, using a different team for reasons and whatnot.
And it definitely helps again in the years that the Bulls were weak, sometimes playing with somebody else. And I think conversely, in my career that I played a lot of, playing for the Bulls and being that star that led them back to the promised land, that was appealing.
Yeah, you know, I've never gotten into those modes and whatnot, but I can see the draw.
So. That's kind of how it's approached that. Yeah, the choice of franchise team, because we've had a lot of the franchise stories in the stories section of the NLSC forum, and some people have kind of started stories and a lot of stories, but ended them very quickly. Because they've picked a team that they think people will be interested in reading about. And certainly, much like a cyberface, do you want to be the sixth person starting a Lakers story? Probably not. But at the same time, if your writing is good and your presentation and if you're doing video content as well, I think people appreciate that from that. And if you are passionate about it. And if you're not passionate about the team you're using, you'll probably get 10 games in and you'll not continue that save. So it is very important to pick that right team for franchise modes.
As a content creator, you got to be having fun. I got to be honest, because it's going to come out in your material, like in the way you present the material.
100%.
You got to choose a team that you're going to enjoy, and you're going to have to be enjoying the game that you're playing in order to create and to enjoy creating that content for the community. So, yeah, I can see that being problematic, and I do see threads drop off pretty fast when people try to do that. Like you say, they try to create content with a team that they think other people will like, but they're not very fun to play with in the game.
Absolutely. And it seems like a good idea on paper. And I think that's also why it's worth playing either exhibition games with a team or maybe just playing a little bit of that franchise to begin with, and then before we make the thread, because a lot of people make the thread and get people hyped, and understandably so, but then they haven't really given it time to really get into that franchise. Sometimes it's worth, you know, by all means, keep the stats and maybe write some recaps from those first 10 games, but see if you can get past those 10 games. It's almost like a podcast, like a YouTube series. If you can get past a certain point, you're probably going to continue it. But a lot of people stop on that, what, episode 7 or 10 or something like that. So it's see if you can maintain that and have that interest in that team you're playing with. That would be my advice to any would-be franchise gamers.
I feel bad that True Faith hasn't been posting about 2K14 anymore. He took on the task of watching every single game of, I think it was the 95-96 season.
Yes.
And posting highlights and recaps and whatnot and stories. What a task. I mean, he was doing this for months and months and months, but when you're watching every game, it takes forever. I think he's only like 7 or 8 games into the season because he's doing 12-minute quarters and watching all the games. And I feel bad that he kind of dropped off, because that's got to get exhausting doing it that way. And I know that he was passionate about it and loving it, but that's just too much time to dedicate
a threat. Every single game for every team, you're talking about 1,200 games that the teams play collectively during a season, not including playoffs. So that's, yeah, it's a big commitment, and I admire it. And great presentation, but yeah, that's a very good way to get burned out, I think.
Yeah, 100%. Hopefully he comes back at some point. But yeah, you know, I was keeping an eye on that thread, and I even put one of his highlights in the top 10 and whatnot 1 week.
No, he's definitely had some... It's worth checking out and show support for that story section. It's not as big as it was because we have shifted content, and like we said earlier in the show, it's become a lot about modding rather than the playing of the games. But if we could get that again, and that section will always be there for people who want to make use of it, and maybe I will again as I get into this MyNBA that I'm looking to start. Of course, True Faith was using the 96 roster for 2K14, and that kind of leads into another question I had for you this week. If you had the time and resources, what major modding project would you undertake?
So
there's so many you could do.
That's the thing, is I own so many games. Well, first off, I would love to be able to dive back into the older games. And when I say older games, I mean like 2K older games, like NBA 2K6 and 2K7, and find a way to mod those. Something amazing. It would be amazing to be able to go back and mod those games and, let's say, add like the 85, 86, 76ers with, you know, Moses Malone, Charles Barkley, and Julius Erving in NBA 2K6 and throwing those guys on the floor. How cool would that be? Or just like some of those classic teams.
That'd be awesome.
That's wishful
yeah.
thinking. I don't think we'll ever get to that point. Even if we get it on the computer as as a ROM. That's a tough one. I'd like to finish my NBA 2K16 UCTR roster, because that game is still a game that my brothers and I enjoy. You know, the Ultimate Classic Teams roster. I said this on the prior podcast, but it's not a big modding project. See, I'm trying to answer your question, but these aren't big projects. I'd like to get into a big NBA Live 10 modding project. We talked about that. If we can figure out, and I think Manny Live kind of figured out a couple things with that, as far as like with the college version of the game. But if we could mod NBA Live 10 and actually physically add those teams that we want to use against each other in matchups and be able to use them in the exhibition mode, I think that's a big project that I'd like to take on. Modding NBA Live 10, adding all of those classic teams.
That would be fantastic. If we as I said, we talked about that. That would be if we can get it worked out. Also, by the way, I have confirmed, I looked it up and tested it out myself, that you can take saves, roster saves, from a physical console on PS3 and copy it to the emulator. So that is possible.
So see, there you go. That gives us hope, right?
Sure.
Because that would mean that you could, well, no, because that still wouldn't impact us modding, though, right? That's not going to help us mod.
Well, it's something that we can work on in our own on a real console or on the emulator. If we could find a way of manipulating it, you could even use it on real hardware. Let me put it that way. As long as it didn't have custom textures, you could do it.
Right, exactly. So yeah, to answer the question, I'd like to do like a big NBA Live 10 mod project if that was possible. Otherwise, it's tough because I really wanted to get around to modding NBA 2K15 and trying to do like a UCTR Ultimate Classic Teams roster for that game, but we never had the resources made for that game. And we don't have an appropriate roster editor and whatnot. We don't even have a modded folder for that game, like we do on the newer ones. So that project, I've had to put it out of mind because we haven't, you know, there's been no light at the end of the tunnel. So what about you though? Because here's the difference. I've actually been modding the newer games and you have not. So I always get curious. I think 2K17 would be number one for you. But over the last few years, is there any of the newer games where you were like, man, I really should mod, or I should learn modding for this game, or I really want to do this project?
I mean, for visibility of the site and prominence of me as a modder, I guess. But I've still been about bringing an old game up to date, an old favorite up to date. A current roster for 2K17, for example. Some retro season rosters for 2K17. A full UBR, URB style mod for 2K11 and some of the last few NBA Live games, you know, just for retro modding. I'd love to do it. Live 10 project, as you say. Of course, the further you go back, the more difficult it is because there aren't as many people working on those games and people who are willing to do that. So that's... it comes down to what I said, is if you had the time and the resources, and assuming this resources would also include people providing those assets for the mods, anything from 2K11 to 2K11 and 2K17, those games that have not really been... Because look, 13 and 14, they're taken care of with URB, UBR. So there's already those mods are out there. So I'd love to do it for 2K11 because we have... There are mods out there for 2K11, but it's one of those ones where by the time we had all those resources, people had moved on to 2K12, where, of course, the first UBR was made for. And also 2K17 being such a great favorite to bring that up to date, which I know a couple of people have in recent years as well. But something like that, because I always used to love doing the current rosters for the old games. And these days with the official rosters, you can still do them, but then when the new roster comes in, having to convert everything, ratings and everything, to the new one with new players and whatnot. I don't know. There's something about updating a game that's getting current rosters and having to redo that work that I find off-putting.
You and I have such different interests with stuff like that. Like, I wouldn't find interest in doing like a current day roster because I don't like the product as much today, right? See, I understand what you're saying. Like, oh, there's something amazing about it, about bringing an old game to new, right? So being able to put the new rookies and all of that stuff into an older title. But for me, it's usually about going backwards, right? So because I enjoyed that product more, I enjoyed the NBA more, you know, in past decades. So for me, that's which is why I did the Ultimate Classic Teams roster, or the all-time teams roster, and the fantasy draft roster for NBA 2K17. For me, bringing older games to new just doesn't cut it.
Sure.
I can see the draw, though.
What about a full, like, roster pack that's got like updated rosters and retro season rosters, like a UBR or URB for 2K17, for example?
Right, your idea to bring like a UBR or URB type roster to NBA 2K11, or maybe even somebody wants to jump on that for 2K10 and stuff, I think that's awesome. Like, I would, and it's something that I would probably want to dive into and even help with.
I have a branding for it if we ever did it as well.
Do you?
Yeah.
What is it?
I'll tell you off air. I'll tell you off air.
Just
in case we do it, and then we can make it a surprise.
Right, there we go. That sounds good.
But no, it does come down to time and resources, if nothing else.
No, it really does. I think that I have enough time to dabble into a big project as long as I wasn't the lead of the project, I guess, right now. That's the way I look at it. Like NBA 2K19, those retro rosters, Stildo is the lead. And then, you know, Sticky Fingers does stuff for the roster, and Culture does stuff for the roster, Mikachetti and whatnot. Like, I don't mind jumping in and helping out there. I haven't been helping out much lately, but I found it fun, and I found myself capable of doing the work that I was doing for them, right? I didn't have to be the lead of the project. I was doing conversions, I was doing some cyber faces and whatnot, and helping out in that way. And I think that's kind of where I am right now in my life at this point, is I don't think that I could be the lead. I don't have enough time to be the lead on a major project, but I could definitely help out.
And that's how it should be with the community. If we get a few people together that can work together and have that passion for those projects, that's where the resources come in. And of course, time is still a commodity, of course, but nevertheless, I think there's a lot of things we love to do, but it's, of course, and as you get older, you do have to split your time between different hobbies and different responsibilities.
Right. Exactly. The thing is I still have a passion for modding. Like I actually kind of, I'm sad that I haven't done much of it lately. Same. I still really enjoy modding. But you alluded to it when we were first talking about this. Sometimes it's tough because there's so many games. So sometimes I don't know where to get involved or what to create or what game I want to create for. And I think sometimes that's part of the problem as well.
Oh, absolutely. Especially on PC, because I can go right back to Live 95, which I know had a mod, but again, it's a much, much smaller audience. So, although somebody did actually put out a 2020 season roster for Live 95 PC a couple of years ago, which I need to check out because that was really cool to see.
Yeah, I'll have to look at that too. That's pretty neat.
So before we wrap up here, bit of news about FIFA, Derek. Maybe rebranding because of the FIFA license, the expense of that, and EA Sports looking to change the branding of their long-running and successful FIFA series to that end. Has us thinking about possible rebranding for an NBA sim, if they return to that space, as we hope they do and feel that there's a possibility that they might. So we put it out there on Twitter that we've been thinking about it and mentioned the possible FIFA rebranding, and if it was going to, if EA Sports was to return with a new NBA sim under a different branding, what should it be called? We did say that NBA Elite is probably out, although of course there's a suggestion one would make, but it's probably highly unlikely. I got a couple of responses from Steve from The Dot, the Live King, of course, and the B-Ball Pundit, at B-Ball Pundit 2 on Twitter. So, thought we'd talk a little bit about those possible rebranding for NBA Live.
It's tough. And the reason it's tough is because so many names have been used already that were pretty awesome.
Mm.
Like, if you think about it, you go back, like NBA Action. That's a great name. You know, NBA Fast Break. That's a damn good name. Like, that's a good name. And even NBA Inside Drive is solid. You know, NBA Showtime. Like, there's so
In the Zone, yeah. Absolutely.
NBA In the Zone. Like, there's so many different names that have been used already. So it's tough almost to think of one that would be fitting and good.
So a couple of suggestions we have, as we mentioned, the Live King and the B-Ball Pundit. Steve says EA Sports NBA Showdown, which is a throwback to, of course, what NBA Live was. The NBA Showdown, or NBA Showdown 94, as it's under both titles, was the immediate predecessor to NBA Live 95. In fact, NBA Live 95 was originally going to be NBA Showdown 95. That would be a fun throwback that EA might still have the rights to that, or certainly that would be a historically significant name for them. Probably better than NBA Elite, but of course has been used before.
No, yeah, I've always liked the NBA Showdown name. But like you said, it almost got used for NBA Live 95. It was going to be NBA Showdown 95. But I think they need to do something new. I don't think bringing NBA Showdown back is the greatest idea. I think that it's a great name. And you know what? How many kids would even know that NBA Showdown was made by EA Sports before? These
exactly.
kids today.
Exactly.
I think there's a lot. So maybe it would work. But I think that they should go with something new. But I do like the name.
As you said, it's tough to come up with new names because things like NBA Courtside, of course, were used for by Left Field Productions for the Kobe Bryant series, NBA Action, the forerunner to the NBA 2K series. The B-Ball Pundit suggests NBA Hoops with a Z or a Z, if you prefer, on the end, which was used by Midway as one of the continuation, the spiritual successor to the Jam games. But again,
right.
a cool name.
Yeah, it's a great name. I just wonder if it would be considered in use. You know what I mean? Like, it would be like there would like a licensing issue because Midway has it, because they released a game with it before. So yeah, I don't know. I have two actually that I thought of that haven't been that haven't been used before, and I wondered if you had any in mind.
I mean, I'm struggling to think of anything that hasn't been used in some way. I mean, obviously they have the ESPN license, so that it could be NBA on ESPN 2022, 2023, etc. They could do it that way if they were going to just lean into that ESPN branding and kind of... Because things like... well, in fact, it was ESPN NBA Tonight was used by Konami. So there's a lot of... Again, there's a lot of names that have been used, and you kind of want to have that thing that grabs attention. Which is funny, because NBA 2K is not... is a fairly simple and straightforward name.
They capitalized, like, Y2K, NBA 2K. Like,
they did.
The timing of their first release couldn't have been better.
Yeah. It's funny, because it's kind of like... And it's just become such a big brand, obviously. But it's funny that, yes, you're quite right, that it was capitalizing on whole Y2K, which is now 21 years ago. So, but yet it is still, we still know it as 2K21, 22, etc. So it's less relevant in that respect, but it has become that generic brand, or that strong brand, I should say, that's no longer associated strictly with Y2K, and stood apart from NBA Live 2000. So, yeah, it's funny how that worked out. NBA on ESPN, number here, insert number here, is a possibility. If they could resurrect something like a courtside or something that's just something that emphasizes the NBA side of things, but it's eye catching the way Showdown was and how Live was back in the day.
So the two that I thought of are, they haven't been used before, and they may be hit or miss with some people. One was NBA Supreme. Mm. I haven't seen Supreme used, or you could call it Supreme NBA. I think it has a decent ring to it. It makes it sound elite without using the word elite. So NBA Supreme, and then NBA Countdown.
That hasn't been used, yeah.
Yeah, NBA Countdown wouldn't be bad. So like NBA Countdown 2023, whatnot, I think that would make sense. You know, we've talked about like top 10 countdown and whatnot. I think countdown would be a decent word.
Well, that's the branding of the pregame show for ESPN, isn't it? NBA on ESPN Countdown, NBA Countdown.
It is.
There you go.
Yeah. So, I mean, it would make sense. Like, so those are the two that I thought of. Again, it's tough because what I'm trying to do is think of what hasn't been used before. And again, Supreme and Countdown have not been used.
And what sounds like a strong brand and an eye-catching brand that, and something that does suggest excellence, like they obviously were trying to do with Elite, or at least distances from the Live brand in case things went south, which they obviously did. But yeah, how do you get a name that hasn't been used but then projects that excellence? You know what? I have to give it up to advertising executives here. Harder than it looks.
Yeah, you gotta stay away from something that just kind of sounds silly and cheap or cheesy. Like excellent, like if you did like excellent NBA, that sounds like a cheap mobile game.
Yeah, cool NBA, super cool NBA, 2K22,
super cool NBA, something like that. But yeah, let us know. We put that trivia out late. Trivia, not trivia. That question out pretty late. Right before we started recording, so it'd be neat to get some more of your ideas. I think that one of the best ones, if it wasn't already taken, would be NBA Showtime. I love that name, NBA Showtime. I think it would be even better than NBA Showdown. But again, we don't know the licensing around that or how they'd be able to use that name.
So. And things like Kings of the Court, again, sounds like a freemium mobile game.
Right, exactly. Like you got to stay away from stuff like that.
Yeah, NBA Kings of the Court sounds like it's going to be loaded with microtransactions. But yeah, let us know what your suggestions would be if EA were to rebrand the NBA Live series similar to what they're looking to do with FIFA. And yeah, you might find, as others have found, and certainly we've found, that it's tougher. So you know what, advertising executives? Yeah, your job is kind of hard. But with that being said, that has brought us to the end of episode number 397 of the NLC podcast. We thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed it. The show comes out every week on Sundays on the NLSC, which is nba-live.com, of course. You can also tune in on various podcatching apps and platforms, pretty much all of them, I believe. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, to name just a few. If it's not on your app of choice, let me know and I'll certainly get it on there. On those apps, search NLSC Podcast, look for our logo, and that will be us. Or keep streaming on the NLSC, of course. As long as you're tuning in each and every week and enjoying the show, that is the main thing. And of course, we're also eager to connect with you on social media, the social media platforms we're on. So, Derek, what are your platforms? And do you have any other final words for our listeners this week?
Keep sending me your top 10 highlights. I love seeing the submissions, and we've, you know, been putting out the top 10 for 22 weeks now, and I don't see an end in sight. So please get me those highlights. You can reach me on Twitter at D4384. I'm most active on that platform. I'm also at D43G, which is a gaming channel that I created. I am on the NLSC D43 as a team member, and I am on YouTube and active on YouTube, D43.
As for me, I am Andrew in the forum and Andrew NLSC on Twitter. The NLSC is on Twitter and Facebook at the NLSC. You can follow us on Instagram at NLSC Basketball. Our YouTube is youtube.com/NBA Live Series Center. And of course, give it lock to the NLSC itself. Once again, that is NBA-live.com for everything we do for basketball video games. But yes, that's all for this week. So thank you once again for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Derek.
Go get buckets, everyone.